You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The new progressive left is coming after conservatives.
Well, they are coming after conservatives in just about every single area.
But you know, one of the largest voices for conservatism in the United States is Fox News. And a George Soros-funded organization by the name of Media Matters. And you hear that a lot on CNN. They're always quoting Media Matters, MSNBC quoting Media Matters. The regular stations, ABC, NBC, all quote Media Matters. But it's a George Soros funded organization, and they have been steadily taking Fox News on. Right now, they're taking Tucker Carlson on for something that he said about 10 years ago, but systematically, they've tried to attack Hannity, they attacked Bill O'Reilly, a couple of the other guys that have been on Fox News. They're attacking Fox News, and Fox News is by far the most watched cable news program in the United States, far surpassing CNN and MSNBC. I think more viewership than those two cable networks combined.
Right. And I think, you know, for me, I don't love everything that Fox does, but for me, it is exactly what they say. It's the most fair and balanced of all of the cable news networks. They're just not spouting all this garbage and fake news that the other two are spouting. And, you know, we see it everywhere we go in the airports. We see it overseas. It's very frustrating to not be able to get Fox overseas sometimes, although it's happening more and more that you are. But you're right. They're seriously coming after Fox. They want to take all of our choices away from us and all of the information that would lead us in a different direction from doing what they want us to do. So what do they want us to do? They want us to vote left.
Well, what do they want us to do? They want us to watch CNN and MSNBC and NBC and these more liberal channels.
Well, it's bigger than
that. By far, they don't tell you the truth. To me, it is a conspiracy, and I'm not a black helicopters guy, and I'm not always a fan of Fox News, even though they use me from time to time as you know, one of their crime experts. But by and large, just like you said, the news that you get on Fox News is far more vetted and far more truthful than what you get on the other more left-leaning news services. And Linda, you know what? You know this personally because, you know, we're driving in the car or you're in the office visiting and all of a sudden, you know, I get a telephone call from some reporter on Fox News or MSNBC or even NBC. And you remember how they ask me questions, and then when I give them a response, they're trying to twist what I'm saying,
sure. Yeah.
You know, right in front of me. Well, Fox News never does that, you know.
Well, and the thing about Fox is that they really do give you both sides. So, yes, they're a conservative station. You can't deny that. But they have, in every subject they talk about, they have the other side presented by somebody from the other side. You really can't say that about the other networks. They have a panel of everybody that's on their side. But I think that the picture is much bigger than that they want people to watch their networks instead of Fox. What they want is they want the country to move to the left. And Fox is helping keep it center or to the right. They don't want Trump to win. They absolutely hate Trump. And so now they're going after everything and everybody who can
put out that message. Right.
And I will tell you this, that one thing that I noticed on Twitter this week is the article that I wrote last week has a warning before anybody can even open it. And that's the first time that they've done that to me.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you bring that up. By the way, fantastic article. I love the entire analogy about politicians being our parents. And when the politicians are dysfunctional, go figure, the kids are going to be dysfunctional. And that's one of the reasons, you know, our country is as screwed up as it is now. But, you know, it's interesting because along with the cable news networks, you get the Google, you get the YouTube, you get the Twitter and all of these things. And they are in league together to shut down common sense conservatives like you and me, and even a little bit more radical conservatives, you know, like the Glenn Becks and the Levins and, you know, people like that, that are major broadcasters.
Well, you know,
Mark Levin, that's who I was thinking of.
That article. Actually, it was the article that I wrote about the males competing in female athletics.
Well, wait a minute. Is that the one
that, is
that
the
they
one
shut down?
That they shut down because I believe that they didn't like the photo that was used for the article, which, by the way, I didn't even pick that photo.
Oh, by the way, I read that article. You and I had talked about that article. And, of course, I get to see your drafts. So I saw the article before it became published, but I did not see the photograph. What kind of photograph was it?
It was a picture of actually a man, and half of his face was as a woman and half of his face was as a man. But he was kind of a scary looking guy. But it was the point of, kind of a transgender person here. Are you a man or a woman? And in the sports where they actually are genetically a male, they are competing as females. And that's only by having to have taken hormones for a year, not by actually genetically
Correct.
Or physically altering your
Correct.
Body or your...
Correct. The men are taking estrogen, yeah. And they take it for about a year. That does not make you a woman.
No, it doesn't. And but according to the sports world, they're buying that argument. And this is the problem, is that we are letting those very, very small minorities of people control the majorities. And really, I mean, America was born as a country to be a rule by the people and for the people. And that doesn't mean that it's meant to have everybody that's in the huge majority bow to the small minorities. It is supposed to be what is good for the majority of people. You can never please everybody. There's just too many different moving parts in people's lives to be able to address every single one of them. But somehow we're trying to do that. And so the majority of people then become the bad people, and the people that are the minority of people, and sometimes even the anomalies in society, become the ones that are the favored few. And this is not how it was supposed to be. I'm not saying to be prejudicial against them. I'm not saying to discriminate against them. But you cannot discriminate for them either.
Well, you know, I think that's a good point. And I don't see it as being homophobic or anti-LGBTQ. Did I do that one right?
Just about.
But no, but you know what? Just speaking as a person that was an athlete for the first half of my life and coached, this was not well considered. I mean, this whole transgender allowing men or women that are biologically men or women, but are representing themselves now, well, I'm a man, but I feel like a woman, and allowing that person to compete under those circumstances is absolutely discriminatory to the women. If it's a male doing the bicycle riding or doing, you know, one of the many sports of track and field, certainly one of them, that the poor women, the real biological women, can't compete against these people. And then again, the opposite way. Okay. I don't think that this was well considered, and it does nothing to help our youngsters that, you know, plan and dream about athleticism and athletic glory and trying to get into, college competition, trying to get into the Olympics. Man, I'm telling you what, Linda, I went down that road. I lived that life. And it was tough enough for me to compete. And my thing, I'm vertically challenged, you know, competing in track and field against guys that were 6'2", you know, 6'3", with long legs. And that's what basically ended my athletic career. I mean, you can only go so fast with little legs, right? But, you know, so I really feel for, and but you know what? I was good with it because you're either fast or you're not. I mean, you know, right? You're competing with other guys. You can't say, hey, well, listen, you're discriminating against me because I'm vertically challenged. You can't say that. You just got to suck it up, and that's just the way life is, and you move and you rebrand yourself in another way. But this other thing that they're doing with, and I don't even, and I'm probably going to get called out on the carpet on this, but I don't believe that you are transgender when you've got all your plumbing, but you just think that you're a woman trapped in a man's body, or vice versa. I think in order to be transgender, you've got to have the sex change. All right. So you get the sex change, you start taking the hormones one way or the other, estrogen or testosterone. You know what? Guess what? I'm going to give it to you.
Well,
okay.
But this other thing about just
thinking that you're something, I think that's totally unfair.
You might give it to them, Ron, but the fact is that God made people with XX chromosomes and people with XY chromosomes.
And that
does not change. So here's my point in that subject, and we kind of got off the subject, but
you started it.
I know. But the thing is that with by saying that these people, these transgender people, can go into a woman's sport, so you have now made a rule for the very, 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 very few, and you have harmed the very many women.
Right.
And every sport that I looked at that has transgenders in it, and where they are excelling, because the men run faster, they wrestle better, you know, all these types of things that you want to compare, the women who have, you know, put so much time and so much effort feel defeated before they start.
Right.
And that's unfair. It's an unfair playing field now. And I don't think that for the, and this is in anything, I don't think that for the few, you should hurt the many. You have to go with the majority of people and what is best for society
right.
as a whole. You cannot
right.
say the heck with society. We're just going to cater to these few. You
right.
cannot do that and have a reasonable society.
Yeah. You know, when I was a high school teacher, I taught both men's and women's track. Okay. And we had them separated at women's track and men's track. And I'll tell you what, you know, having spent so much time with my young women and, you know, going through, you know, the emotions of competition and you know, trying to do everything I could to get them to their peak, you know, athletic performance. And of course, we didn't have anything like this when I was, you know, coaching, oh my God, what, 45 years ago. But, you know, I absolutely empathize with young women in athletic competition when something like this happens. You know, I just do, because I just remember my young ladies and how hard they worked.
Yeah, you know, you just want a fair shake in life, and that's
right.
all. That's all that people
I agree.
Ask for, and that's what they deserve. But you know, back to your Fox News issue, Media Matters is trying to do what they can to shut them down, to get the people that have the biggest audience, and Tucker Carlson has the biggest audience, so trying to get him out of a job,
right.
just like they got Bill O'Reilly out of a job.
And just like they tried to get, you know, Sean Hannity
in.
I mean, truth be known, I'm not a big fan of Sean Hannity, okay? I think he's a little bit of a provocateur, but at least he tells the truth, and they just battled him left and right. God bless Sean for sticking up for himself, but they did. They knocked, you know, they knocked O'Reilly out of there. They knocked Chris, the guy we really like, the black guy on the business, Fox Business. And then Eric, what was Eric's?
Bolden or something.
Okay. Anyway, I think everybody remembers who Eric was. Yeah. And he was gone from Fox.
Yeah, and I really liked him too. Yeah, so they've done this trying to get everybody out of there one at a time. And, you know, it's not going to stop. There are more of them in the media, certainly, than there are of us. And this is where I think what I just keep kind of harping on in my articles and with you and with everybody that I know is you've got to get involved. It's not a time anymore to sit back and do nothing and to watch this take place, because by the time that you decide to act, it's going to be too late.
No, I totally agree. You know, people have, like you said in your most recent article, people have got to stand up, and they should have really a zero tolerance policy about people that are doing things that are dangerous and harmful to America and Americans. All right, I want to switch gears for a second and go back to the state we love to hate, and that's California. And, you know, the new governor elected in January, Gavin Newsom, and it looks like now he's decided, I guess they're just a little bit short of 800 people on death row in California. And, of course, all the death row inmates are kept at San Quentin, and they actually have, that's why it's called death row, and it's like, you know, Scott Peterson and, you know, many of the famous
killers and serial killers. Brutal murderers.
And, you know, and there's two of them there. There's two of them death row that I put there myself, arrested them, and just, I won't even tell you the horrific crimes that they committed, and they deserve to be there. And actually, they deserve to be executed, and that's was the ruling of the jury and also the ruling of the court. And now Gavin Newsom is taking it up upon himself, absent any vote to the people in California. Don't forget, we went over the death penalty a couple of different times, and it was soundly, you know, defeated to maintain the death penalty.
Well, and I would disagree with you. There was a vote, and that vote happened a couple of years ago, and they voted to keep the death penalty.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's not the first vote. There's been two votes. And you remember, you know, you and I are old enough to remember Rose Byrd. You know, in that court, we finally got rid of her. And big deal of that was to maintain the death penalty. So anyway, he's commuted the death sentences of almost 800 death row inmates, I believe, to life imprisonment. Has he not done that?
I am not honestly sure if he's done it to everybody. Possibly.
And I think I could be wrong, but I think that's what he did. But the other one that I think you and I will agree on is that he's created a moratorium on future death penalties.
Well, he's created something that he has put a hold on death penalties for a number of years. And it's interesting because I really need to read up more on this. I was so shocked and disappointed when I saw this, because the people of California voted, and he's totally disregarding their vote. And that just should not be allowed to be done. He knows better than what the people want.
Well, you should not be able to circumvent the initiative process.
No.
All right. And that's the way they do it in California. They have an initiative on certain things, and the public votes it in. And you cannot have someone like the governor violating the initiative process. Hey, let's do this. Let's go get another cup of tea, and we'll come back and further this discussion.
Okay.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American Freestyle Bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So we've got the orange spice tea, and I brought you the brownies that you just made, right? However, I made a little brownies for myself first, okay? So you wanted to say something about Newsom when we last left off.
Well, you know, it's a bigger picture, but that in itself is big enough, but it's even bigger. So our politicians now have just made it a routine to disregard we, the American people, what we vote for. When we voted for President Trump, they wanted to undermine us. When we vote for the death penalty, they want to undermine us. So what Gavin Newsom has said here by doing what he did, and he has said it, the words out of his mouth as well, is that he doesn't feel that he wants to oversee the death of anybody. By the way, nobody, even though there's 737 people on death row in California, nobody's been executed since 2006 because some court said that the cocktail that they make, the three-drug cocktail, was cruel and unusual punishment.
I say go back to hanging, bullets, a guillotine.
Yeah, whatever you want to pick. But
whatever it takes.
Here's the thing that makes me really angry is that they usurp our power as the people and give us none. They just take it from us. They get into office and they take it from us. And the people, if anybody takes the time, and I'm just one of those weird people who takes the time to look at the people that are not going to be eligible in California for the death penalty, these were some of the most horrendous murders that I have ever seen. There is no cocktail that they could give them that could be anywhere close to what they did to their victims. And the other thing that Gavin Newsom said, which is absolutely ludicrous to say, is that we have spent in California $5 billion, you know, supporting these death row inmates for the death penalty for X number of years, and it hasn't proven to reduce crime. Let me tell you, Gavin Newsom, you bet it reduced crime, because if you had let those people out of jail like you're letting so many other people out of jail, there would have been more crime. Do you seriously not think that these people would have done these things again?
Well, let me tell you, the old criminologist comes out on me. Every time I hear that the death penalty is not a deterrent to murder, my response is, you haven't tested it. You really haven't tested that theory, because if you created a system, and I'm very much in favor of this, you give them 2 years for appeal, you have special death penalty courts that must try the appeal within 2 years. So you allow Innocence Project, anybody that you want in your defense, you've got 2 years to do your appeal. We create special death penalty courts, a three-judge court, create about 15 of them, but when you've lost your appeal, within 1 week, you're executed. And I'll tell you what, if we started doing that and we started bumping them off left and right like they should be bumped off, you would see a marked decrease in certain types of homicides. Now, don't forget, Linda, everybody should know in the United States that people are murdered every single day. And let's just take California. There are homicides that go on every single day in California. And by the way, every single day in California, people are convicted of homicide, but not all of those people get the death penalty. Okay. What we find out is a very, very small percentage of people convicted of homicide get the death penalty, because the death penalty is set aside for particularly heinous criminals. And when you talk about, some of the most famous ones that are locked up, you know, Charlie's dead now, but, you know, the Charlie Mansons and all of these types of people. By the way, I think Charlie Manson was part of that Rose Byrd court, and he had originally gotten the death penalty, and I thought that she and her court had released Charlie from the death penalty. That's why he was in prison for life without possibility of parole.
Well, every one of the people that have it that I read about deserve it. And again, my big point here is that our politicians continue to make us irrelevant, and only themselves are relevant. So Gavin Newsom has decided that his opinion is more relevant than all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of Californians who voted to keep the death penalty. And that is what I resent. And it's not just California. It's every state. It's every local government. It's every Congress and Senate. The whole country has gone to forgetting about we the people, and it being about the politicians and their agendas.
Can I go into a segue? Because now we've got the Republicans and the Democrats sort of joining forces to vote against President Trump and his executive order. Okay, in other words, building the wall. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm very, very ashamed of the Republicans who participated. The Democrats, I expect it from. They don't have an independent mind amongst them. But the Republicans I'm disappointed with, and their excuses were not up to what I would think would make a lot of sense in this. Here's the fact. The American people voted for President Trump to build that wall. That is what they need to respect. And again, their own little personal agendas, whether it be their politics, their religion, their, they got up on the wrong side of the bed, whatever it is, they have dismissed us and what we have said that we want. And I'm going to absolutely get a list for myself of every Republican that voted against President Trump on this. And of course, Trump will veto this.
And that's going to be interesting. I want to see what happens with regards to the veto and see if they override the veto. And if they are not able to override the veto, and we're sure to go to litigation, it's going to start in the Ninth Circuit, I want to see how the Supreme Court handles this whole thing.
Well, I do too, and I'm not sure if...
Because the Ninth Circuit is going to do what they always do against President Trump, so it's going to go right to the Supreme Court.
But you have Roberts now going to the other side and being a much more liberal justice, so, we don't know what's going to happen. But the thing is that, again, it's the same subject we just talked about. Our word as the voters in America, who are supposed to be the ones who decide, what we want in the country, we are being ignored and dismissed.
No, I totally get it. Speaking about people that are ignoring their constituents, how about the triumvirate of OAC?
Is that a word?
Yes, the triumvirate. You know where that comes from?
No.
That comes from Rome. Okay,
triumvirate.
Didn't I say that?
Well, that was something I've never heard. I don't know.
It's Latin, Linda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't speak. I speak Pig Latin.
May I continue?
Yes, please.
All right. So I'm talking about the three people. Look how you've embarrassed me. The three people.
I'm going to look that
word. Okay. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. All right, and then you got Ilhan Omar, and then you've got Tlaib. But the person, all three of these is it Talib, right? I'm not good with any of these names. But anyway, look at these three gals that are the Congress, you know, freshmen, and look what they're doing. They're turning the Democratic Party upside down. They've got Nancy Pelosi pulling her hair out.
They're in a tizzy.
Chuck Schumer, have you noticed he's in absentia?
He is.
He's gone.
For the last time.
What happened to him? He's gone.
He doesn't know what to do with this.
And, you know, the other eyes are on Adam Schiff, the guy that looks like he's under the influence all the time. But
he does.
With regards to Omar, she is the one that's way out in front. Okay, with regards to anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic, I mean, you name it, doubling, tripling down. Well, here's something that I heard about today, and that is the Democrats in her own district are considering an unprecedented primary to dump her in the next election. And they're elected for 2-year terms, right, Linda?
2-year terms.
Okay, so guess what? It's already time to start, you know, running for office again. And she just got in 3 months ago. But they're reaching out for candidates that are going to run against her. And they really need to, because even the Somalis that voted for her and Muslims in her own district are completely upset about what's happening with respect to their relationships with the Jewish people in her own district.
Well, some of them are and some of them aren't. But, you know, here's the thing. Again, we keep having the same conversation, and it all goes back to the same thing. What happened in Minnesota, in my opinion, is that the people in Minnesota weren't paying attention. And they sat back, and they didn't know who they were voting for. And they see a name on a ballot, and they vote for that name. And the people who are in that Somali area that do know her, they all went out en masse and voted. So the people who sat back and didn't do their homework, or the people who sat back and didn't bother to go vote, this is what you get. And, you know, and by the way, I love Minnesota, but I'm going to say, shame on you. Shame on you for not paying attention and allowing this to happen. The same thing in Queens, the same thing in Michigan, where Tlaib is from. We need to know who we're voting for, and we need to take some time to study what their positions are, what they say, what they do. And you know, it's not just what they say, it's what they do, because we need to pay attention. And otherwise, you're going to have 100 of these people, 1,000 of these people in different offices, and it's already happening.
Well, they count on the disengaged American.
They do.
And remember, you and I have had a couple of coffee conversations where, you know, I was telling you the statistic that always bothers me whenever they're doing a poll, and it's pretty much consistent on the percentages, 20 to 24%. Whenever you're asking people, how did you vote for or against, the percentage that bothers me is the 20 to 24% that have no opinion.
Don't you love those that when the election is the next day, they say, I don't know, I haven't made my mind up yet.
Well, you know, and that's what bothers me, Lynn, because look, and the 2016 elections were an excellent example of this. Look how many national elections were won by just a couple of percentage points.
Oh, okay.
And even less than a couple of percentage points.
We talked a lot about that at the time, and it was a lot. A lot of races were very, very close.
So I just want to throw this out to you. I don't think we've had this conversation before. What do you think happens? Why is that?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay.
Well, why are they so close?
Why are they so
close?
Well,
the country is extremely divided right now. And much of the country is uninformed. And, you know, I'll go back to the conversation I was having with the fireman a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, he was saying that, you know, he had kind of tuned out and didn't know this and that. And I mentioned names of prominent people in government, and he wasn't familiar with them or what they do. And that's what you get. But will he go vote? Yes. But will he vote intelligently? Maybe, maybe not. And what his answer to me that, you know, it could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. Well, he said people will figure out what to do because they can find out on the internet what's right and what's not right. And I'm going, holy cow, you know, I mean, so is this one of those things where everything you read on the internet is true?
Right.
That's what worries me, is there's so much misinformation out there and so many different, you know, he said, she said kind of things that people don't know what's true and what's not true.
Well, I want to ask you a question because you didn't share this information with me. Did you press him on why he has not been engaged politically? In other words, researching the initiatives. I know he's from California. Researching the initiatives in California, reading the ballot, doing his own vetted research. Why was he disengaged? Was he because he was angry? He was too busy? He was too disappointed and frustrated? What are the reasons behind him not remaining engaged?
Well, it's interesting. I see him as really a very typical person in his mid-30s. And first of all, he's working, and that's what people do. They work, and they live their life, and they, you know, try to forward their own lives. Secondly, the biggest thing that he said, which is what I hear everywhere, is that they hate turning the news on because it's always bad news.
Right.
It's always arguing.
Right.
It's always people talking over each other.
Right.
It's always negative, and they just don't want to hear it. So that's not how they want to live. And in their 30s, at that age, you know, that's when you feel like you're going to live forever and everything is moving forward in life, and you have, you know, you're on that upward stride in your life at that point in time. So they don't want to be bothered with all this. So then the voting comes, and if they vote at all, and a lot of them don't, then, you know, then they vote. They might, you know, look in the pamphlet or something at the last minute. So they don't really know what is happening. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting because he really felt bad that he didn't know so much about what was happening. And rather than watch TV, rather than turn a news station on, he sat and watched YouTube things all the time.
Wow. Well, you know, you and I are probably two of the hardest workers that we know. And you and I take it upon ourselves as Americans and patriots to be well informed. I mean, we read newspapers, we read magazines, we're watching news, and we're checking sources. And it's not just because, you know, we do a radio program. We check our sources because everything that happens in this country now is so important. I mean, just take immigration, for instance, right? And this wall. And you and I know that the wall, it's much more than the wall. It's national security. It's drugs. It's the opioid crisis. It's criminality. It's sexual exploitation. It's sex trafficking. It's so much. And it's definitely a crisis, not only a crisis at the border, but it's a crisis throughout the United States.
Yes.
And you don't know that unless you spend the time and research it. And I think that if people did that, they would be absolutely surprised. They'd be shocked. And hopefully they're shocked enough to become engaged with what is happening in this country.
Well, and when you're listening to CNN, and CNN is saying, oh, the president is just a lunatic. There is no crisis. And, you know, they give whatever phony stats that they have. And if you're listening to that and you say, oh, okay, well, you know, there's no crisis. No, you really have to do your homework anymore, because everybody's got a dog in the fight. And so you have to really make your own decisions of what's right and wrong. Again, it goes back to thinking with your brain and not just listening to the garbage put out by somebody else.
No, I totally agree. And you know what? They need to not only do it, Lynn, for themselves, but they need to do it for their children, and they need to do it for their grandchildren.
Absolutely.
How about another cup?
You got it.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
Well, did you see the pay-to-play scandal that's happening in our colleges?
I certainly did. I'm extremely disappointed. And it looks like Felicity Huffman and William Macy's girl getting into college with the bribe, and Lori Loughlin's kid, I think another girl, getting in there. Somebody paid like $500,000 to get their kid into USC. Holy cow.
You know, it's interesting because for my money, I don't even think that their education is all that. But it's interesting that Hollywood crowd is all involved in this, where there aren't they the ones that are just complaining about all of us not doing the right thing and how inclusive we should be? And
well, you know, the thing that I like about it is that, you know, some of these same actors, meaning the men and women in Hollywood, are talking about white privilege. If this is not the epitome of white privilege, okay, because all these kids are white kids and they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think some person, I think, paid up to $6 million to get their kid into school.
Wow.
I mean, if that isn't white privilege, I don't know what the hell is. And it just makes us look bad.
Well, you know, and I don't think that they were all white, actually. I think
I haven't seen any kids that weren't white here, Linda.
You've only seen the actors and actress kids. But, you know, the one girl that also, besides getting into college in an unethical way, but she was also hired by Sephora Makeup to basically be a spokesperson or model for their makeup, and has now lost that job. So this didn't work out too well for her.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. Again, it's about doing the right thing. And I always think if you do the right thing, that things don't come back to bite you.
Right.
And they cheated other students out of those spots, and they had no guilt feelings about that. Kids that maybe and probably didn't have the means that they have financially.
Did not get an opportunity to go.
They didn't get it. But yet they were people that had the brains to go and the smarts and the dedication and the work ethic. And then you have these athletic coaches bought and sold.
USC fired their female athletic director.
Oh, well, a lot of these colleges did.
And then I think the water polo and men and men and women's swimming coach from USC got canned. There's all sorts of people that are going to lose their jobs over this.
Well, I think that we've heard the tip of the iceberg on this.
And the money, I couldn't believe the money. The money is staggering. One of these kids was, like I said, $500,000. One set of parents paid up to $6 million. I saw another one for $250,000. And they were sticking them in sports that the kids didn't even know anything about, right? Like on the rowing team and on lacrosse and things like that. And the thing that gets me, because, you know, I went to university on an athletic scholarship. When you give them, it isn't just the fact that they're letting them get into college or a university, you know, the prestigious ones, all the big ones, Yale, Stanford, I mean, you name it, USC, but they're taking an athlete's position off the team because you can only bring in so many.
Right.
Right? So someone that really has true talent is getting, you know, ousted or not considered. So some rich, funky white kid from a couple of actor parents gets to go in. I think they all need to go to jail. I really do.
Well, I think it's just a shame, and I really worry about the ethics in our country at this point in time. So, you know, we're going to see a lot more about this, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. Well, there's been a very long-term debate in this country about women's bodies and what they have the right to do and what they don't have the right to do with an unborn baby. So now we have these new laws that are out that is like the heartbeat law. Some states are saying if the doctor can hear a heartbeat, that you can no longer have an abortion. And that's at about 6 weeks. And then you have other states which are saying completely, you know, you can even murder this baby after it's out of the womb. So we're all over the map. But here we have a complete waste of another politician doing a stupid thing, wasting our time, wasting our money, wasting the goodwill of the people by making a bill that would regulate men's bodies. So this Democratic State Representative Darshan Kendrick in Georgia has made this bill that would require men to ask permission from their partners before taking Viagra or erectile dysfunction medication and wait 24 hours before purchasing a sex toy. So they'd have to get permission to purchase a sex toy.
I'm sorry.
I'm just so serious about this.
Okay, so apparently nothing is happening in Georgia, right? There are no pressing things going on with the public, right? The people are all really happy to live in Georgia. They don't have any problems whatsoever. There's nothing that government can solve that would make their lives easier. But then they want to get into the little blue triangle.
Yeah, okay? The little...
they want to get into Viagra.
Tit for tat here, so to speak.
Just stay out of my bedroom, for God's sakes. Okay. Not that I use any of that stuff, mind you. I don't want to hurt you, girl.
So her bill would mean men would be forced to begin paying child support when the woman is 8 weeks pregnant. And here's what the bill is called. Do you have any idea what it's called, Ron?
No.
It is called the Testicular Bill of Rights. Okay. Is this not a waste of public effort? So here's her suggestion. Have the following legislation drafted. Require men to obtain permission from their sex partner before they're able to obtain Viagra or any erectile dysfunction medication. Ban vasectomy procedures in Georgia, both in part or whole, with the name punitive measures for performing the procedure that are listed in HB 481. Make it an aggravated assault crime for men to have sex without a condom. Require DNA testing when a woman is 6 weeks and 1 day pregnant to be performed before she is 8 weeks to determine the father of the child, who shall immediately start paying child support. And a 24-hour waiting period for men to purchase any porn or sex toys in the state of Georgia. She says, you want our wombs? We're coming for your testicles. I mean... We are so ludicrous, I can't even believe it.
Sort of sounds like a man hater, Linda.
Well, you know, how do you compare this, Ron? How do you even compare this to taking the life of a child? And my view is, how dare you even compare this to taking the life of a child? That somehow you can equate these two things as being the same?
No, I totally get it.
Well, there's a new viral challenge going on, and people are snapping pictures and putting them on Instagram and Reddit and Facebook and you name it, and it's called the Trash Tag Challenge.
What's that all about?
Well, what it's about is you go to a place and you see that it's full of trash, it's a mess, it needs some cleaning up, and there's nobody around to do it. So you
take San Francisco.
Like that.
Like Los Angeles, like San Diego, like Portland, like Seattle.
Apparently there are plenty of places to clean up, Ron.
Sure.
Why
aren't they rushing to those cities?
Well, maybe they are. This viral challenge is, you know, it's making the world a tiny bit cleaner. And, you know, the fact that it's gone viral and the fact that it's getting a lot of play and people are having fun with this and trying to outdo each other is only a good thing for all of us. So what they do is they'll find a place where either on city streets or in a field or wherever by the side of the road, there's trash to be picked up, and they take a picture of it, and then they post it. And then they post the after picture with all the trash bags full of all the trash and the nice clean area. So I think that that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I've seen a couple of commercials for the Ocean One. Do you remember what the name of the organization?
I don't remember.
I think it started in Indonesia with a couple of surfers. Yeah. Right? And so I think that's a great thing. And, you know, every once in a while, there's a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of light that there are good people out there and doing humanitarian things.
You know, there are so many good people out there, and we haven't talked about them for a while. And, you know, we probably should start doing that again, because I just see stories all the time. In fact, there was another story today, and I am not thinking of the whole thing again, where somebody, you know, in this horrible winter we've had around the country, fell through the ice and were rescued by some firefighters. So, you know, there are lots and lots of good people out there doing good things. And this, I like this challenge because it just helps make things cleaner for everybody.
I totally agree.
Well, in 1954, there was a young lady by the name of Marty Ingram Everett, who lost her handbag while she was at her prom. And she is now 81 years old, has never seen that handbag again. She just was located on Facebook. And when they were demolishing and doing some things at the school where she lost that bag, Jefferson High School in Indiana, they found that purse behind a file cabinet in the science room. Now, my immediate question went to, how did it get in the science room if you were at the prom? I'm just not clear on that.
Exactly.
But what was in the purse is really interesting. They opened up the purse to see who it belonged to, and there was the requisite lipstick and a few little girl things. And then there were some photos in there.
Watch it.
No. Of the prom and of the boy she was with. And there was three love letters from three different boys. So really, really interesting little piece of history that at 81 years old, she got that purse with those memories back.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Love
and,
that.
Yeah,
great
it's just great that they took the time to find her, and then everybody wanted to know, okay, out of those three love letters, which is the boy you went to the prom with?
Oh, yeah, what a great question.
Interestingly, she did pick the one that she went to the prom with, but then I think she never went out with him again, but he was her first kiss, so maybe that's how it got behind the cabinet in the science room. I don't know.
That's so cool.
Well, if you're energetic and confident, you enjoy cooking, and believe in love at first sight, new research shows you're probably an early bird. Those things kind of sound like you.
Are you trying to burn me on something?
No, you like cooking, and you're energetic, and you're confident.
And I am an early bird.
I don't know if you believe in love at first sight or not, but...
Well, it was kind of like what happened with you and me.
It was kind of like that. Yeah, so a new study just came out that I thought was really interesting that looked into people's sleeping habits and revealed some interesting differences between people. Those that rise early and those are like the late birds, right? So it also affects things like people's sex lives.
Okay, well, now we're going to get a personal evaluation, being an early bird. Okay, so how does that work, Linda?
Well, I don't know exactly how it works, but they did find that early birds have more sex per week.
And you found that to be true, right?
You could probably say you find that to be true. So that's interesting to me, though, because the people that stay up late, you almost would think that they have more sex, but they don't. So, the night owls were found to be more shy and more sarcastic. Oddly enough, they found them more likely to use Instagram and to believe in ghosts and cryptids. A cryptid being something like Bigfoot or Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Things that you think exists, but may or may not exist, right?
What's the word?
Cryptid.
Cryptid. Okay.
Right. And you know, it's so interesting. How do you even get that out of a study that those are the differences between people that stay up late and not?
Well, I just want to know. I want to know about your personal research and study about energetic early birds. How's that working out for you, sex-wise?
You just want to go there this evening, don't you?
You started this whole thing.
So now, early birds are more likely to be married. So there we go. We're early birds and have children living in the house. Well, we got rid of them.
God bless them. We love them, but I'm glad we're by ourselves with the dog.
Yep. Still got the dog. And early birds are more likely to have tried online dating, which is interesting.
Yeah, leave me out.
The thing that I really liked about this study that I think is important to know is early birds were found to earn more money and were more likely to work in an office, but they were also more likely to report for being late for work than late people. And they were also 10% more likely to identify as happy, while night owls identified more strongly as loyal. Oh. There's also a difference in gender. So men were more likely to be early birds, and women identified more heavily as night owls. So not sure how that works with the whole...
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you see yourself as a night owl or an early bird?
No, I see myself... I would say I used to definitely see myself as a night owl, but I definitely see myself more as an early bird. I like that morning time. I like that early morning time.
To what? To be up?
To be up. Well, I mean, to be awake. Whether I'm up, out of bed or not, I like to be awake. I like that whole, I have more energy, more time to do things. Where at night, you know, you're kind of spent.
Wait a minute now.
What?
Because you're always telling me when it gets to be the weekends. Now, don't forget, it's the weekend. We get to sleep in.
And how late do we sleep in on the weekend? What is sleeping in to us?
Like,
it's pretty early.
Like 7 o'clock, 7:30.
Yeah, so it's not like the people stay in bed till 10 or 11 o'clock. You know, and I will go to bed late. I'm much better at going to bed late than you are. You are a true early bird. I'm kind of can go both ways, you know? So I'm a little bit more flexible on that. Well, but people that are early birds are found to have more hobbies. They're more likely to enjoy walking and hiking, playing sports.
Well, that sounds like us.
Exercising.
Okay.
Yeah, we really sound like the people that exercise, don't we, Ron?
Well, we've kind of moved away from that, Linda. But we're getting back into it, you remember.
Hobbies for night owls seem to be a little bit more... things like reading, sleeping.
That's us. That's us.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, they're just different. But there's not a major difference in the study in the amount or the hours that people slept. It's just an average of if they're late hours or early hours. But they did find some differences in how people sleep, where early bird people were more likely to be light sleepers, and they always felt rested, well rested in the morning, where late birds kind of didn't feel quite as rested in the morning.
Well, okay, I would go with that.
Yeah, and early birds were more likely to dream, which I think dreams are important, and to remember their dreams on waking. And night owls were more likely to have trouble falling asleep and were less likely to report high-quality sleep.
Well, listen, me tell you what. Speaking of sleep, I think I'd like to get some. Are you ready to hit the sack?
Well, I'm ready to hit the sack.
Well, because the dog is already in there.
The dog went to bed long ago. That's so interesting because she's usually right here.
Well, I love you. Good night. I'll meet you in the boudoir.
Okay.